Welcome to another NY Jets Fans podcast. We're on week 5 with hosts Davin, Sharman, and Chris. Please make sure to follow us on Twitter, Jets Fans Podcast, Instagram, NY Jets Fans Podcast, and please leave us some feedback as we would love to hear from y'all or what y'all think on our podcast. Thank you for listening to us. Now, let's get into some football before we get into some Jets preview again on the game against the Eagles. Let's get into some week 4 highlights. I'm gonna say a couple of hits of what that happened. Josh Allen got hit. what's his name? Like I said, guy from the Raiders, Berflick. He's out for the year with his hits. Did y'all expect him to be out for the year? And why did the guy from the Patriots, I can't remember his name, didn't get suspended for hitting Josh Allen?
Well, yeah, I think Perfect's got the history, so we know how many, you know, bad hits he's done, and he's got that. He's definitely got a bad history of bad hits and being suspended already, and why he's even playing in the league again is beyond me, but. You know, this might have been his last shot, but now that he's done for the year, but I'm sure he's going to go and try to fight it through the union. And who knows, maybe he gets back after 4 games instead of a full season. Maybe they, you know, maybe they'll fight this and they win. I don't know, but he's a guy that should not be playing in his league. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, the guy's Jonathan Jones of the Patriots that collided with Josh Allen. The thing with Josh Allen is a separate incident. I think Josh Allen's running of the football and not giving up himself as a quarterback kind of created that situation. I don't think the guy really wanted to hit helmet to helmet with Josh Allen. What happened was that he went to hit him with his shoulder and Josh Allen ducked his head. And, you know, you can't really duck your head and your helmet's not going to hit with the other guy's helmet. So that was on Josh Allen, in my opinion, anyway. That wasn't a flagrant, you know, foul or anything like that, you know, a flagrant hit. The one with Berfick was a flagrant hit. You could see him lining up the guy with his head, basically lining up to the crown of his helmet to the guy. And the guy was on the ground. If you could basically just tackle the guy or touch him because he's on the ground. Basically, if you get over there and touch him, he can't get up because he's on the ground. You know, so his propensity to go way overboard in the NFL for all the years he's been doing this with the multiple fines was like, I think that's worth up to like $500,000 or something like that. It's ridiculous, you know. So if you're gonna do all this and have a history of it, unfortunately, we're in an era of protecting the players that the NFL that we're in now. The NFL is gonna come down really hard on you. It goes without saying. I don't think this thing is a long story. I don't think this is somebody should, you know, try to protect Perfect. Perfect should be trying to protect himself. And stop doing these things that he knows that's a flagrant disregard to the way things are getting done in the NFL today. Simple as that.
Yeah, that guy should not. He shouldn't be in the league anymore. I mean, they suspend him, but nobody should be signing this guy. I mean, he's obviously out to hurt guys or permanently hurt players. I mean, you can't be doing that. I'm sorry. You know, you can't be playing that way. So,
yeah.
But we'll see.
I saw a video from I don't know if y'all remember Bill Romanowski. He basically was on Perfect slide and was like, "Oh, you know, he should get a fine and all of this." And he done did these hits and everything. If basically there's a video with Perfect hits, and Perfect always goes for the helmet. It seems like he does it intentionally. You know, he doesn't do it accidentally. And it's a big difference. You know, it's a big difference from football from 90s, I'm going to say, to early 2000s to now. Now they're trying to protect the players from head injuries and, you know,
CTE.
Yes. and brain, basically something that has to do with, you know, people's brains and making them crazy and everything like that. So I think it's really dumb, and it's good that he got suspended for the season, but hopefully he doesn't get signed to another team. And if so, the next one should just be your banned for life. Because basically you done hurt a lot of players, or intentionally tried to hurt a lot of players. It's just not fun. It's really not. We love the hits, but I like the shoulder to shoulder. I don't like the helmet to helmet. It's, you know.
You wanted a quick list of all these fines this guy's had already. In November 1st, 2013, fined $21,000 for speeding against Stephen Hill of the Jets. I don't really remember that, but October 5th, 2014, fined $25,000 ankle twisting Cam Newton and Greg Olsen.
Yes, I remember that. Yep.
December 18th, 2015, fined $69,000 combination of unsportsmanlike conduct plays against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, January, you remember that. 11th,
suspended 3 games for an excessive hit to a defenseless receiver, Antonio Brown.
Oh, yeah. That was a bad hit, man.
October 19th of 2016, fined $75,000 unsportsmanlike conduct, stepping on LeGarrette Blount.
Of course.
November 25th, fined $12,000 unsportsmanlike conduct, middle finger to the fans against Buffalo. August 28th, 2017, suspended 3 games for a hit on a defenseless receiver. Forfeiting $1.4 million in his salary. Signed in. October 27th, fined $12,000 unsportsmanlike conduct, kicking Roosevelt Knicks. And March 16th, suspended 4 games for violating the league's PED policy. Fined October 19th, fined $112,000 hit to the head area against Antonio Brown and James Conner of Pittsburgh. December 7th, fined $53,000, lowering his helmet against Andy Jankovic, released by Cincinnati in March of 2019. Then he signed, and then this suspending for the entire season for his hit.
That's ridiculous, man.
It's crazy. How is he still in the league? You know, and you hate to bring up that other guy, but they blackball a guy for doing nothing. But this guy, let's bring him in. Let's keep signing this guy.
Yeah, well, you know how it is, man. Listen.
Yeah.
And the worst guy that could come into the defense of Vontaze Burfict is Bill Romanowski. I mean, Chris, come on, man. Really? Romanowski, you remember Romanowski playing football?
He was another crazy.
Yeah,
he was another maniac out there.
Yeah, I didn't see that video. Yeah. That video was crazy. That,
popped up on steroids. That's another crazy dude.
Romanowski was looked like he was out of his mind. Basically playing football out of his mind, man. And I don't know, man. That's just.
Another steroid freak.
Like I said before.
Come on. Are people really going to take him seriously?
No, nobody's going to take him seriously. You know.
Of course not. You know.
But yeah. Enough people take him seriously to buy his health, either protein bars or supplement stuff or something like that. I think he sells, and I think he does pretty well. But other than that, I mean, as a regular human being, he's not that bad. As a football player, he was not. He was out of this world, man. It was ridiculous.
Right. Oh. Sure. But yeah, let's go to some quick kicker news for the Pats. They got lost. Gronkowski for the year, for the rest of the year, and they signed Mike Nugent. We all know that they're going to find some way to win games, but how important was it for them to sign Mr. Nugent?
Well, I don't know what Nugent's going to be. I mean, Nugent's been around for how long now, Chris? This guy.
Yeah, no, he's been around. We drafted him in the second round that year?
Yeah.
Second round in 2005.
There you go. That's how long it's been around. So, you know,
it's 37 years old.
We say it all the time about kickers. We you know, they go on streaks. You know, they there's the good kickers. They're around, you know. They kind of and Gostkowski is one of those guys. They whatever average it is, that's what they average, you know, whatever. But most kickers are guys that have good years here and there, you know. And I don't know. I mean, unless it's the Patriots' magic wand again, and they just, you know, rub some dirt on it or some magic spells, you know, and then all of a sudden Nugent turns into a 90-something percent field goal kicker.
Yeah, no, you never know. Listen.
That's it.
Yeah. But it was key to bring in a veteran, because you can't just bring in some no-name guy off the street to be the kicker for them, you know. But this is gonna be big. We'll see in the playoffs if they need a big kick down the stretch, you know, late in the game where Gostkowski was, you know, one of the better kickers in the league, and now you're bringing in Mike Nugent, 37-year-old. Let's see what this guy's got. Let's see if he even makes it to the end of the year. You never know. You know, he might totally flop, and they might be looking for another kicker soon. So we'll see.
I don't even think this is a big deal, because basically the way the Patriots do business is they change no matter what, you know. Now maybe if their plays in their offensive handbook goes, okay, we have plays for us to get 3rd and 12, you know, and we know, or let's say we get into 3rd and 22. You know, we're just going to kick off. We're going to get, you know, half of that. We're going to get it to 4rd and 12, and then we'll kick a field goal. Now, the playbook is probably going to change, and they're going to be like, okay, we're not going to go for 12. We're going to go for the whole 22.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, that's what they do, man. They, you know, they'll just go for it on 4th down. That's what they do, man. And they're very, you know, they just do what they do.
They just roll with the punches.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, if they don't need a kicker, they can always go for 2.
Yeah, but this is key. I mean, this is big. You never know when you need that late. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's key, but they'll find some way to win the games.
We've been searching for that magic silver bullet for a long time, bro.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
No, that's right.
Can you imagine in the end it's just the kicker?
It's just a kicker.
Right.
Yeah, that would be funny.
Mike
that
Nugent funny. Is going to be the silver bullet.
A kicker Jesus. Killed the Patriots. Yo, imagine writing that freaking newspaper article.
Oh,
going down in history to be
former,
the one.
It'll be former the... Jet draft pick kills the Patriots.
That would be awesome. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it would be. But, yeah, let's get into the Rams real quick. The Rams, it's a shocking loss against the Bucks. Todd Gurley very mad, but he hasn't saw more than 20 carries since his injury, you know. So is it important for Todd Gurley to try to get it back together? Do y'all think his injury is worse than what it is? And if so, should they try to trade him? Should they try to cut him?
Something's going on over there, man. I mean, it's just – it makes absolutely no sense that you would have a all-pro running back in your stable and you're not using him, you know. Jared Goff is throwing the ball too many times. I mean, I'm a guy. This is not what I do for a living. I should not be. There is no way that I should look at the situation and be able to tell what the issue is more than the coach. You know, Sean McVay is the second coming of the best offensive guru to ever do it. You know. People are hiring any coach that ever spent a minute in a room with him and saying, the next coming of Sean McVay, you know. He has to understand that Goff could not throw the ball that many times and give the carries to Gurley. Well, if that's not happening, then something must be wrong with Gurley. Something has to be wrong with Gurley. You know, there is something going on there. Is either they're extremely going for the let's save him for later in the year, which is even more crazy and convoluted in my mind, because why in the hell would you just have a guy and pay him all that money and not use him for half the season and use him for the rest of the season. I don't understand. I can't put my finger on it.
Hey, you know what?
In my mind, I feel like he is still injured and he's not 100%, and they can't pound him like they used to. If you can't pound him like you used to and you're paying him all that money, in my opinion, you got to find a guy you could pound, you could use to run the rock.
Then you know what? He shouldn't be playing then. If he can't physically do it, then they should be sitting him and getting him healthy. You know, whatever the case may be, if it's surgery, if it's rehab, whatever they got to do. But they need to get this guy, you know, 100%, because you know what? Without him, they're not the same team. It's as simple as that. Yeah.
That goes without saying,
right, man. Because then you could just defend the pass and force Jared Goff to beat you. And you know what? I'd rather Jared Goff beat me than, you know, than battling the whole offense combined. Because Goff, right, I think he's beatable. You know, I mean, I don't think he's an elite quarterback. He's a good quarterback, but he's not an elite quarterback.
He, you know, it's sad. It's kind of crazy to say it, because I think he should be better than Dak Prescott, but it kind of reminds me of what's going on with Prescott. It's like if the day that he's running back struggle, he struggles too. It's almost like he cannot, the his running back has to have a good game for he to have a good game. Meaning to me that you can't read the field without teams cheating. Like linebackers cheating closer to the line of scrimmage, causing openings in the back, so you could see the field a little easier. You know, if that's the issue, man. Like, there's, as a NFL quarterback, you have to be able to progress to the point where you don't need that, and you could complete throws without defenses giving you, you know, the key to what's going on. You know, and figure it out for yourself. You know, I mean, I've seen them do it before, but on a consistent basis, no. You know, and it just bothers me that team, they're way too talented to lose to the Bucks the way they did, man. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, they shouldn't be giving up 55 points to Winston. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of those was a defensive touchdown, but still, yeah. I mean, you know, but Goff, he threw three interceptions. He also fumbled once. That resulted in another touchdown. So, you know, something's, like you said, something's up. And if Gurley doesn't straighten out, then they got
to I don't want to take the whole thing and say it's all in the Rams, because the Todd Bowles coached a hell of a defensive game. You know, a lot of he manipulated the crap out of Goff. Goff wasn't seeing the field because he was in his head from the beginning. You know, he would sugar the gaps and drop somebody that blitzed before would drop in coverage, and somebody that dropped in coverage before would blitz. And he had a ton of ways of getting to Goff, but that only happens, and you could only execute a game plan against the Rams that way if the Rams cannot run the ball, because if they run the ball, they dictate to you what they want to do. Now you have to adjust to what they're doing. And that gives Goff the time to throw the ball. And unfortunately, that wasn't happening. Again, back to the question Davin asked. If your offense is predominantly run, and by the engine of your offense is Todd Gurley, and Todd Gurley is not being used, there must be something wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, like, if Todd Gurley's injury is worse than what it was, Shouldn't they put him in IR and try to make a move to try to get a running back that can actually try to fit the system? If the Rams is trying to be the Super Bowl winning team that they had a shot at last year, but fell short against a better team. But I'm just thinking they probably could have went after Melvin Gordon. They could have actually made Duke Johnson. They could have actually made a move if they know that Todd Gurley wasn't able to carry the load.
I'm just saying. Something like somebody's lying. Either the team is lying or he's lying to them. So I don't know.
We'll find out. I'll tell you one thing.
Well, they're playing. They're playing Thursday night tonight, so we'll see.
In Seattle, it's going to be a great game.
if they line up and throw that and run the ball, and run the ball 20-something times and give the ball to Gurley, then I'm questioning McVay even more, because why in the hell would you go up against a Bucs team that has that, you know, they've been playing their butts off, but they're not that talented. Why wouldn't you run the ball against them? And lose in that way. I don't know.
And a lot of things happened last week that we didn't expect to happen last week. So it was just one of those Twilight weird Zone weeks. Yes.
Twilight Zone week.
Yeah. There was a few games.
Yeah,
definitely a few games.
Yeah, let's go on to the Vikings. Of course, they lost against the Bears. We're not going to talk about that too much. But at the end of it, Stephon Diggs, he didn't ask for a trade. But all the rumors that has been spread around, has he said, are true. And Adam Thielen, he is complaining about Kirk Cousins and letting him know that you can't run the ball all the time. You have to throw the ball, and you better put the ball on the money. Is it a concern that Kirk Cousins is not doing his job to make the team a winning team?
Is that a trick question?
Hey, it's an actual question, because you know against the 500 teams, it seems like he does very poorly. But against the 500s and the low below
500
team,
or better.
Yeah.
Listen, if you're running the ball well, yeah, I could say keep giving Dalvin Cook the rock and let him run the ball like crazy. But he had 14 carries for 35 yards. He did score a touchdown.
Teams were daring them to throw the ball.
Right, and until Cousins proves that he could do that on a consistent basis, you know what? They're going to keep doing that. They're going to put Bobby in the box.
Hold up a minute. Are we really having a conversation about a quarterback that got paid $84 million guaranteed money?
Yeah.
That we're questioning the fact that he could actually throw the ball in the NFL? What is this? What's going on here?
Nah. I have no idea. I mean,
Devin, what did you do, man?
Hey, I didn't do nothing. All I'm saying is this. If Kirk Cousins doesn't get it together, and Diggs and your wide receiver Thielen is asking for some type of trade or want to leave the team, basically you're not doing something right. You got this 3-year, $84 million guaranteed, $90 million guaranteed, and you can't do shit against these above 500 teams, and you got somebody that's below average, Case Keenum, doing a bit better. That don't make no fucking sense.
And he's nowhere. He's got a full trade, no trade clause. With all that money he's getting paid, he's going nowhere. So they're stuck with him. He might be a $30 million backup next year.
Hey, Jets fans, did we dodge a bullet or what?
Oh, we should all. Every Jet fan in the world should be sending him messages either on Twitter, or if we could send it to the Minnesota office and just say thank you very much for not signing with us.
Yes, because Mac definitely was going to give him that guaranteed money, and that would have blew us in the head.
Definitely,
man. Imagine you think it would be it's painful not scoring touchdowns and not being last in the league in yards. Imagine having a quarterback that's guaranteed $80 million and he's doing this crap, man. Jets fans would have been
Imagine if Luke Falk was getting $84 million. How would you feel?
All right, man. You didn't have to say it like that.
Well, man. I mean, nothing going right. Shit.
There you go.
Yeah, but you know what's so sad about the whole thing is that I don't know what's going on with that offense. Both Thielen and Diggs were averaging like almost 7 yards a catch or something like that. You know, last year, and their numbers are cut in half this year. That's ridiculous. Yeah, you know, that's ridiculous. It's like you how are you struggling? How many years in the league now? I mean,
they veterans. Let's just say that
Kirk Cousins You know the funny, I think what happened. Kirk Cousins
still overthrew it though. The Thielen on that big play.
That's what I'm saying. Listen, simply put, if you're gonna run a power scheme where you're gonna run the ball and you're gonna give your quarterback to throw the ball at least 15 to 20 times a game, he needs to be accurate at least to about 15 of 20 a game, or 13 of 20 a game at least. This dude is like 8 of 20. That's not good, man. Nah, it's this ridiculous.
This is his 8th year. This is Kirk Cousins' 8th year in the league. Wow. He was 27 of 36 on Sunday for 233 yards. No TD.
But most of those yards were garbage yards. Right. That's the problem.
When they needed him the most.
I mean,
6 times
he was sacked. When they needed him the most, he did not right. contribute. I mean, we spoke about this. I know their offensive line is still a work in progress, you know. And yes, if as a coaching staff, running the ball would be the best way to work in an offensive line that's kind of trying to gel, because running the ball together would kind of get their juices flowing, get them in, you know, offensive linemen, that's what they go, you know, run, give them a run play. That's what they want. You know, right. Maybe that would help. But that can't be the only answer. Not when you have two of the best wide receivers in the league. You need to get the ball to them. No matter how you do it, you need to get the ball to them. And they're just not doing a good job. Either on the plays they're calling or the play designs, or on their quarterback's efficiency.
Right. I mean, they got to find some way to get, you know, because, you know, the wide receivers are talented. Them two guys are talented. You know, they got a running back. Kirk Cousins got to find some way to win them games, because if they don't go to the playoffs, I think it's going to cause a lot of drama after this season. You signed this guy that's supposed to have been taking y'all to the, I guess, Super Bowl after going to the NFC Championship game, and y'all don't make the playoffs 2 straight seasons. That's crazy.
Yeah, that would. Yeah. Davin and I will find, what's the name of that linebacker that was supposed to come to the Jets, and then Davin won't forget his name. We will find his email and we'll send him a congratulatory email. If that happens, it's like, man, congratulations on missing the playoffs for 2 seasons straight with your $84 million quarterback.
Yeah, exactly. I definitely will contact him on Twitter. But anyway, now that we got that out the way, let's get into some Jets football. Let's get into week 5 against the Eagles. Seems like, I don't know what's the injury update. Seems like Jordan Jenkins, Mosley still not playing. Darnold, yep. I don't think Darnold's not playing either.
Today's Thursday night, and it seems like he said in his recent presser that a company made some kind of protective thing for him. For kind of where his spleen is, some hard plastic, extra padding. So it seems to me like they're going that way, that they're leaning to him playing.
Positive, but we still need Mosley and Jordan Jenkins and Quentin. Is Quentin Williams playing?
Yes. Quentin Williams is going to be playing. Yeah.
We still need our defensive leader, and we need Jordan Jenkins.
Yeah, Mosley and Jenkins doesn't seem to be – they're not going to be able to play. Adam Gase said that much,
So at the end of it, how would the Jets be able to try to be the Eagles team that's kind of desperate for a win, for another win in the tough NFC?
To be honest, I think if C.J. Mosley and Jenkins are not playing – then you know what? I think they should sit Darnold one more week. You know, let him get stronger and 100%, because right now he's probably nowhere near 100%. You know, he might feel good and all that, but you know what? Let's sit him one more week, because are we really going to beat the Eagles? Yeah, I mean, are we really going to? You know, are we really going to beat the Eagles without C.J. Mosley and Jordan Jenkins? And maybe,
most likely not.
Right. So you know, why risk? Not risk, but why put Darnold in that situation. You know what? Give him a
I will play devil's advocate here. The reason why you would play him is to get him back to himself. Because basically, okay, let's say you keep him out, right? Mm-hmm. That's one more game, one less game he takes for him to get NFL reps. So remember, if you're right that he's not going to be 100%, and the only way you get to be in football shape is by playing football. You know how football players always say that. That has to be something that's very true. And you want him to come in and rep out some real NFL reps and get him back into that kind of mindset, into that kind of physical setting where he gets that, you know, he has to, you know, get hit, get quick, get the ball, release the ball quickly, see the field and all that stuff. And I know. It's a nervous thing for us fans, you know, but if he does, let's say we've counted that this as a loss, as you're saying, Chris, he gets in, he reps out how many reps it is for the game. He escapes unscathed. The next game is not a game he's gonna come in all fresh again, all fresh. He's not coming off the injury. He doesn't have to get back to NFL readiness. He's already almost there, you know, so he could use that game to kind of get a little better. So by the end, probably by middle of the game or whatever, you'll see the old Donald coming back, you know. That's my argument anyway.
Yeah, no, that's not bad. Or maybe not let him start, you know? I don't know. I get what you're saying, you know, just to get him back into game shape, let him play some at least this week. But I don't know. I think letting him sit one more week, get him a little bit stronger. Let's worry about the spleen, getting back to normal size, whatever that is. And I don't know. That's just my feeling. I mean, they might play him anyway, because if they lose again, they'll be 0-4. You know, that's the other reason.
The chances of us going anywhere is slipping away.
Yeah,
slowly.
But I think either
if it
way,
hasn't
I
mean, already slipped away.
I think either way, it's going to be hard to beat these the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, the Philadelphia Eagles are coming off a really good game against Green Bay, winning on the road. So I don't know.
Let's be real, man.
The Packers and the Eagles have both played horrible defense in that game.
Yes.
But at the same time, it's the Eagles, and they do change every week.
Yep.
So I'm not gonna sit here and act like, oh, this is a hard. No, not at all. I'm just saying it was a bad defensive week, but it was still a great game for both teams. I think one important thing to look at is the offense, how the offensive line is gonna retaliate.
Sir.
This is a very important, because they had a bye week to get their crap together. This is very important that this horrible offensive line needs to get it together to try to get Bell some yards, to try to protect the quarterback. This is very important. This is like one of the main things that I would like to see from the offensive line.
I've said it before. Watching the film, the Jets film, on the offensive line, two things stick out to me. Kelvin Beachum is not an average left tackle anymore. He was just average.
Oh, he's
not that anymore. He is way below average.
Of course.
Our right tackle, Brandon Shell, was below average. Trust me. He is not below average anymore. He's below the dirt. He's horrible.
Gosh.
He is. Just to give you just to kind of put you in the mindset of how bad Shell is. Shell has a rusher coming at him, a speed rusher coming at him. He has his two hands. If you ever watch offensive linemen play, they always have their hands either close to their stomach or almost to their chest area, ready to fire whenever the guy comes to make his move. You know where Mr. Shell's hands were? Down by his hips. Like he was walking through the park on a stroll. This is how you play football, man. You're getting paid to play football. You're a professional football player, and your reps are with your hands down that low. How are you going to be able to block a guy from getting into your chest if your hands are that low? It makes absolutely no sense. Chell is bad. He is – his technique is just – it's, and it seems like it's getting worse. So
and another guy who's hurt, too.
Are bad.
You know, Osemele. Right. Osemele's hurt, too, big time. They said he might have a significant injury.
Shoulder and knee, right? Shoulder is the one and knee. What is it, Chris? Something like that?
I don't know. I heard shoulder. Yeah, that's what I got.
I heard the shoulder one. Yeah, I heard the one about his shoulder, but I think he has something with his leg too. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's out too. Yeah. So that's another guy out.
And the crazy
really
thing,
want to put Donald back there without him.
And the crazy thing is that the Jets offensive lineman is the third highest paid offensive lineman in the NFL.
Yeah, as a group.
Kind of Rams and some, and I forgot the other team. I think it was the Bills. But that is terrible. $45 million on this offensive lineman that's not doing a damn thing for us. It's terrible. Really terrible.
Yeah, so that's going to be big. And you know what? I think we I don't know if we talked about it on here or off air. Joe Douglas is going to have his work cut out. Offensive line.
I'm telling you right now, Jets fans, we cannot expect this guy to work this match. This is not going to be something that's going to be fixable in just a year. This is going to take a while. And this again points out the failings of Mike Maccagnan. How do you not draft an offensive lineman? When was the last time he drafted an offensive lineman? I can't remember the last time
especially when you know you got your franchise quarterback now in place.
Correct.
You know, that's you need to protect him. And trust me, Joe Douglas is definitely going to rework this whole offensive line.
He got a clean house.
And you know what? And the whole offensive line has no guaranteed money going into next year.
Yeah. Right. Free agents, they don't have guaranteed money. So, yeah. Financially, it's going to be easy. Yes. Financially, it's going to be easy for them to do it. The problem is
finding the replacement.
Yeah.
Because offensive line is true skill, and it's hard to get great offensive linemen. It takes time to get them together, man, and a lot of things. And it doesn't. And even the way the NFL is today, it doesn't really help the situation. You know, there's not enough practice time. You know, everybody. I think I really like that guy, man, Mark Schlereth. I always listen to him. Because the way he explains offensive line play, it's kind of funny to me. But he was saying how back in his days playing in Washington, he and his players that played with him was like, they would all come to work and sit down and watch film together, you know. And so what would happen was that after a while, they started, all of them, because they were all watch film together, started noticing things. And instead of them having to be like say it out loud to them on the field, like, oh, I think this is going to be a stunt, and then try to indicate, you know, because they had seen it on film, he most of the time he'd say that somebody on the line would whistle, you know, and point out the guy and be like, yeah, you know, and shake their head, and that would be it. And you would know what the guy meant, you know, and that caused, and I think there was, their offensive line was a beast back in the day, you know. So even in his years, I'm not in Washington, I'm talking about in the Broncos, I'm sorry, when he played for the Broncos. But there's things like that are missing in the NFL, you know. Players don't watch film together anymore. They can't practice together as much as they used to anymore. And that hurts. You know,
And we'll find out Darnold Friday, because they're going to do the blood test on him and everything. We'll find out for sure if he's going to play or not Friday, because they're going to do the blood test, and I guess that's how they test the spleen and make sure that's shrinking or whatever and get back to a normal size. But I wanted to ask you guys a question. Talking about Mac and his wonderful drafts, okay? Let's go back now. And we were talking about Leonard Williams last week about should they trade him, should they not trade him. Here's another question for you. Right now, do you consider Leonard Williams a bust?
No.
Vernon Golston. That's all I'm going to say.
That's a bust.
That's beyond a bust. That's an atomic bomb bust.
Hey, I'm just saying, like, I disagree
with you guys 1,000%, but I'll tell you why is why. Go ahead.
Nah, I'm saying we have more buses than Leonard was.
Worse than buses.
That didn't make a year. That didn't even make 2 years. Now, if we want to talk about Ja'Kai Polite, he didn't even make it after the preseason.
He's been cut by two different teams.
Exactly.
He's been cut by us, then Seattle, then whoever else he got cut by again.
The reason why I think Williams is a bust is because he was drafted, what, sixth overall or fifth?
Yes.
Sixth, right?
Sixth overall, yes.
Sixth overall. Uh-huh. With the sixth overall pick, you should be a perennial all-pro at your position. It's as simple as that. Sixth overall.
I agree to that, but fucking Kristen Hackenberg got picked in the second round. You know, it's a lot of.
I'm not saying he was the only bust.
Of course, but I'm
the only bust. But he's one of the busts. He might not have been the biggest.
This is why I don't think Williams is a bust. I understand that Williams is. I know people. As fans, we kind of take it to the extremes sometimes, and I think this is one of the cases. I know what we are expecting of him to be, but what he is not a bad NFL player. He's not a bad NFL player. I think I've said it over and over again. I think he has just not lived up to the place where we picked him, you know. He's not a $10, $15 million defensive tackle in the league, Aaron Donald style, or even we're gonna play the Eagles now. Fletcher Cox. He's not on that level, you know. But he is not a horrible D lineman. He is good enough. He's good enough against the run, and he gets himself in the backfield. The problem is he can't get off blocks, and for whatever reason that is. Listen, man. I don't know. Maybe I'll go find the genie and rub the lamp and ask him. Maybe he's the one. He has answers. I don't know. But for me, I think a bust is a guy that you picked thinking that he was going to be an NFL player and he didn't even play in the NFL. I think Williams could play in the NFL and will play in the NFL for years to come. I just think that he'll never be a Pro Bowl player. That's all. I don't think that's a bust.
So to me, that's a bust if you're picking him sixth overall. Saying it by what you're saying, he might be a good player, a decent player, but if you're picking a guy sixth overall, that guy's got to be an all-pro. He's got to be one of the best, you know, it's as simple as that. A guy you're talking about is a guy you draft in the second or third round. A good player.
But that doesn't mean he's a bust, though. The fact that he is a third-round talent means he's not a bust, Chris.
A bust is a guy that ends up like
Davin said earlier, you know, like out of the NFL. That's a bust.
Because you picked him sixth overall. That's what I'm saying.
He's a disappointment, Chris. He's a bust.
Disappointment? Okay. All right.
I think in this situation, scouts gets it wrong. And I think that's what it potentially could be. Is that, you know, with Mac. With Mac, our GM at the time, basically his scouting game was wrong on Leonard Williams.
But he was not the only one, man.
Yeah, of course.
NFL thought he was.
Yeah, of course. That's what I'm saying. The scouts, you know, it's a game. I'm gonna say it's a game of chance. Like either you take it and go for the gamble, or you just don't. You know, they probably thought Leonard Williams had that real potential, but. At the end of the whole thing, he didn't. Well, he still do, but it's not as what scouts would like him, you know, to be at this
Well, let's see what he'll do. You know, like maybe with a healthy Quinnen Williams.
Got the rest of the season to figure it out.
Yeah, let's see. But
or his contract is bang bang.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah, I don't think they should be re-signing him.
But good question. Well, good question, Chris. So what's the predictions for the Jets Eagles game?
I think even if Darnold does play, I'm still gonna give the Eagles the win. If Darnold plays, I think they'll put up some points finally on offense, and they'll make it a little bit closer. But I still see, you know, because our defense is not going to be whole yet. So I'll say 31-20 Eagles if Darnold plays. If Darnold doesn't play, then it might be even worse. You know, 31-10 game.
Yeah, man, this is one of those teams. This is a real NFL team, man. Ultra talented in the trenches, both on the offensive line. Jason Kelce is a beast, man. Right, probably the best center in the league. They have guys on guard and tackle. I mean, come on, man. They have guys on the same way on their defensive line. The same thing. They have linebackers, safeties, corners. I mean, I'll take the corner thing back because they've been struggling in the DB room for a while, with injuries and stuff, and players not playing up to par. But just an ultra talented team, man. Carson Wentz hasn't been as accurate as we remember him before the injury. I'd say that, but we can't when we're talking about, you know, our team. Unfortunately, has so many injuries, and we have second and third string linebackers trying to play pro ball. That's bad. And when second and third string corners are playing on the field, that's bad. You know. And the Eagles are just, you know, way talented.
Wentz has already had a lot of drop passes on him too.
Yeah, yeah. I want to say about
that is another big thing with him too. I
mean, yeah, like that guy that called him out that caught the babies from the falling the house on fire, and then it's right. Like, yeah, I caught not like Aguilar.
Right, that was pretty bad.
That was bad. When a dude catching babies from a fire is like taking shots at you, man. Eagles fans are special.
Oh yeah.
What's your predictions on the score?
But yeah, my prediction is I think I will go with 30-15 Eagles.
If Darnold played, I agree with Chris. I think it will be a little closer. The Jets finally will score 7 points in the first quarter since I don't know when. I will say if Darnold does play, I probably will go with a 28-20 type of game. If Darnold doesn't play, I'm going to go with a 31-6. That is horrible, but I do not believe in Luke Falk. After that horrible performance and that horrible game, I am not. I am no way. You could tell me as a Jet fan that I should believe in this guy. No,
you shouldn't.
Way.
You shouldn't.
No you way. Shouldn't.
No. Davin. If this guy could not see the field at all. In the Patriots game, there was wide receivers running wide open multiple times, and people out there blaming Gase for this not designing plays. Guys, listen to me. I know you could say Gase run the ball too many times on first down. That's fine if you want to say that. You could say that those bubble screens he's trying to run when there's only three wide receivers and there's four or five defensive backs on one side. That's fine. You could attack him for that, but trust me when I tell you, you go and watch the All 22. There's wide receivers running open. The quarterback is not seeing them. He's watching the wrong side. He's flinching because the blitz is coming. He's holding the ball too long. The offensive line, all that. Not Gase's fault. If it ever becomes his fault and we see it on film, we'll say, hey, look, it's Gase's fault. This is not Gase's fault. His quarterback is not playing. His offensive line is shitty. That's what's going on. And the wide receivers are fine. They're getting open. The quarterback is just not hitting them.
Right, exactly. ridiculous. So before we get into the Jets, So before we get into our NFL predictions, who was y'all player of the week for week four?
Very simple for me. Browns running back, Nick Chubb. Yep.
Okay.
Beast.
You know what? I didn't think I'd ever say this, but I think my player was Jameis Winston. I mean, pulled that kind of a game off against the Rams in LA on the road. That was
crazy.
That's pretty impressive, man. I gotta say, I was gonna say the whole Browns team because they needed that win. That was a desperate win. But I gotta give Winston, man. You gotta give him a shout out for what he did.
Yeah, he ate a W. Yeah, he ate a W.
Yes. You don't need too many of those. So.
Oh, shit. Oh, my God. What the hell? Hey, hold on, man. Hold on,
am
man.
Am I lying?
I mean, nah, you're not lying, but that, oh, man, I don't even know. I probably had about two guys. The first one was before he got injured was Devontae Adams. He was getting at that Eagles cornerbacks kind of hard before the injury. But since you went with Mr. Winston, I'm gonna go with the wide receiver, Chris Godwin. 12 catches, 170 yards, and two touchdowns. I'm gonna go with the guy that did it. And it wasn't Mike Evans too much. It was this guy. So far, he got 390 yards, and I think like 25 catches so far this season. Guys, actually doing well. You know, and it brings the pressure off of Mike. Yeah, and it brings the pressure off of Mike Evans. So I'm gonna go with the wide receiver.
What Shaq Lawson is his name, the defensive end for them, for the Bucks. Remember, we were talking about this when he was behind the Broncos on the Broncos depth chart behind Miller and Chubb, and basically he wanted to get out of Denver, and that's who gave him a shot. Well, he's leading the league in sacks.
Right.
So imagine that, huh? From deep on the bench to leading the league in sacks, man. When you take a chance on yourself, there you go.
Yeah, well, you got to shout out Todd Bowles and that great defense.
Yeah,
there you go. Give him a little credit, man.
That's what he needs to do. Stick with defensive coordinator, not head coach. Leave it like that, though. Let's get into tonight's game for the predictions. Rams against the Seahawks.
I'm going to take the Rams. I think the Rams are the better team, even though the Seahawks are at home. I'm going to definitely go with the Rams.
I'm going with the Seahawks.
Yeah, I'm going with the Seahawks, too.
If Jared Goff threw 68 times this past Sunday, then I'm not expecting this arm to be ready, and I don't expect Todd Gurley to run the ball 20 times. It's something fishy. It's something really fishy, and it's stinking up the whole place. So I got Seattle winning tonight. I'm going to go with Seattle. Let's go to the Cardinals. The Cardinals against Red Rifle and the Bengals.
Wow. I'm going to try Arizona. You know, Cincinnati looked really, really bad. You think we got offensive line problems. The Bengals are just as bad or probably worse. they're pretty bad. I'm gonna try to take Arizona in that game. That's a bad game, but I'll take Arizona.
I'll take Arizona too. Arizona is more of a complete team. It seems like they were more of a complete team because the offensive line on the Bengals can't block nobody. They have former Giant superstar offensive lineman. That was always on his butt over there. Forget his name. Right tackle. over there, falling all over himself again. All over the Bobby Hart. Shout out to Bobby Hart. Struggling to block people over there. So
Yeah, that's a bad O line, man.
Yeah, that O line is bad, man. So Arizona.
And no AJ Green, no his name?
Ross. John Ross is out. Yep.
So Ross and Green are both out. So
yeah.
Bills against the Titans.
I'm gonna try Tennessee because they're home. They look pretty good last week.
I don't know. It's difficult to believe in Mariota. The Bills defense is good. They played the hell of a game against the fucking Patriots, and that's very tough. That's very tough.
Should be a good game. I think that's going to be a quiet game.
I'm going to say Titans by a very close game. Close.
This is going to be a defensive, slow burner, boring game because both quarterbacks are. They're right. Both kind of nuts. Even if Mariota played a hell of a game last weekend, He played a better game last weekend. I'd say the only reason why I'm going with Tennessee is because Josh Allen is crap.
Horrible.
That's the only reason why.
All right. Let's go to Chicago. Chicago against the Raiders.
Yeah, Chicago
defense.
I'm taking Oakland. That's in England too. That game, guys. I don't know if that matters to you. Yeah, that's an England game. English game.
That defense. This is the first time Khalil Mack finally gets to go against John Gruden. It's going to be a very good game, but I think Khalil Mack is—he's going to tear. He's going to tear him limb by limb. I'm sorry. Mac finally gets the last laugh. He will get the last laugh at this game.
They go into that game thinking that Bears defense is only Khalil Mack. They have surprises on their hands. Tell you that.
Bears got a good defense.
Bears defense is. It's kind of weird. Something weird going on with Roquan Smith, who is their star, who they drafted last year. That's that bullet of a linebacker. But if he plays that game in that game. Man, that defense is unstoppable, man.
And I think they're quietly crossing their fingers that is hurt more than a few weeks. They're hoping Trubisky.
Oh, Trubisky.
Oh, that damn Trubisky. Lord Jesus. Not a damn elite quarterback. They probably going to let the guy Daniel play. We'll see, though.
Yeah.
We'll see. Chase Daniels.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good backup. Tampa Bay against the New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Yeah, you gotta go Saints, man.
Really, I don't believe Tampa Bay could do this back to back, dude.
I don't know, man.
Unless they do it, no, I am not gonna believe. I will believe it when I see it.
I'm going with the shocking pick. I'm actually gonna go with Tampa Bay in this. I don't know. It's something that they coming in with a burst of energy and. I don't know, man. It's going to be a high if the Saints basically don't compete. I don't know how the hell Jameis Winston did all of this last on Sunday, but
exactly.
if he does this again, then it won't surprise me. I'm actually going to go with Tampa Bay.
Burst. I think burst his bubble.
Yeah, but I'm going to go with Tampa Bay. I don't know, Teddy. I mean, it was a tough game, the Saints Cowboys, but I don't know Teddy Bridgewater going to be ready for all of them for Ty Bowles and the blitzes and the pressures. So, I'm going with Tampa Bay.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Minnesota against the New York Giants.
I'm going to go with Davin's Vikings for sure in that game.
Yeah, don't say my Vikings because, I don't like them at all. I don't like them at all. But, yeah, I'm actually going to pick the Vikings, but I won't be surprised if the Giants win.
Dude, if the Giants win this game, man, I don't even know what to say to this. That team is supremely more talented than the Giants. The Giants have
Tate playing.
Yes, he's going to be activated for the game. Yes.
Yeah. Hey, just think about this: if they win and Dallas loses, they'll be tied for first place. The Giants.
Oh my goodness!
Did we ever think that would happen?
No. Again, that's one of those things I'll see when I believe it. Things, even if Kirk Cousins sucked,
agree.
I'm gonna go with the more talented team, Vikings.
Yeah, we got Baltimore against Pittsburgh.
Woo, man, Baltimore needs to wake up. I don't know what happened last weekend. They look like they weren't there, and I think they're going to be up for that Steelers game because they know if they don't, the Steelers are going to knock them around. So I say Baltimore wins this game. I still don't believe in the Steelers.
Yeah, I'm not sold on their quarterback yet, the Steelers.
Mason Rudolph.
I'll stick with Baltimore.
Yeah, I'll stick with Baltimore, but they got to get their defense together.
Agreed.
That's all. I don't even know why I'm saying this, saying these two teams, but I'm going to say it. Patriots against the Redskins.
Yeah, you know what it is.
I'm going to go out on a limb. I'll say the Patriots.
Yeah, me too. Right out on a limb. Sir. Patriots.
Yeah, Patriots by 21 and above. Terrible. This is actually interesting right here. Jaguars against the Panthers.
Yeah, that should be a good one, man.
That's going to be a decent one. Two young two guys going at it. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with Gordon Minshew over there. I'll take
Gardner Minshew.
Yeah.
Yep. You're going to do Jacksonville? Yeah, I'm going with Carolina, man. Carolina's defense is balling out of control. They just need the kid to run CMC. Kelly is his name, the quarterback. Yeah. Just do his thing and run CMC to, you know, eat up all those touches, man. They using him everything they have to do, man. They let him do it. He runs the ball, he catches the ball, he blocks, he does everything.
And you know what? This is where we're gonna start seeing the teams really shine now. You know, this is week five. You know, the rust is off now. All that, you know, not playing in the preseason games. Now, after 4 weeks, you start seeing what these teams really are. So, you're going to start seeing better play this week. You're going to see who's who and what's what in this league. You know, this is where you start seeing it.
Agreed.
I agree. I'm going to go with this is tough for me. They both hell, you know, both good defenses. I'm actually going to go with the Jags. I don't know. Flacco, then there's of course can't win the game, but both of the young guys are gonna be ready. I just think the Jags is gonna win the game, but it's gonna be very close defensive game. Maybe boring. We'll see.
Yeah, there's a possibility. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so we got the Falcons against the Texans.
I would say Texans. Atlanta does not look good at all.
I don't know what the hell's going on with Atlanta, man. I mean, we questioned their moves in the offseason, but we never thought they were going to be like this. I don't know what's going on. Like what Chris just said, man, the cream of the crop will start rising. So this is their chance to rise, but I'm not going to pick them. I still think Houston has a shot there. Houston over Atlanta.
Yeah, I'm definitely picking Houston without a shadow of a doubt. I'm going to leave it like that. We got the Chargers against the Broncos.
Chargers.
Yeah,
got to
go Chargers there.
After this loss against the Chargers, I hopefully they put in Drew Lock. Just start getting them ready.
Bradley Chubb is out for the season, man.
Yes, and that's really terrible. So, yeah, I got the Chargers winning.
That's bad.
Very bad.
And like I said, their backup pass rusher that they had on the bench, they let him go in free agency, so it's only going to be Vaughn Miller.
Right. And I don't think he has any sacks yet, right?
No, I don't think so.
I know we went into last week without any sacks. I wonder if he had any last week.
I don't think he did. I
don't think so. No.
Yeah.
Not at all. Terrible. Game of the week, Packers against the Cowboys.
Man, here we go.
In Dallas, I think you got to take Dallas.
y'all know me. I pick my boy Aaron Rodgers. It's something about Aaron Rodgers in Dallas. I don't know. Aaron Rodgers always perform well in Dallas. I'm gonna go with Rodgers. Yeah, the defense played horrible against the Eagles, very horrible. But they'll get their shit together.
We'll see. We'll see. Also, is Dallas really this good, or you know? Have they beaten anybody good yet?
No.
No.
Right. So let's see what they're about. There you go.
So listen, can Green Bay stop the run? That's the question. That's the question on the day. If Green Bay could stop the run, they could beat the Cowboys. I'm counting on Green Bay to figure out whatever the hell went on that had the Philly running the ball up the gut all day long, and beat the Packers. Beat the Cowboys.
You know, think about the Cowboys. They beat the Giants, right? Yeah,
trash team.
Eli, right. They beat Washington.
Trash team.
And then they beat Miami.
Trash team.
Right. And then they couldn't beat New Orleans without Drew Brees. So
yeah, but
they lost on field goals, no touchdowns.
That was all well and good, but you gotta shout out the Saints defense, man.
Oh yeah, they played great.
They came to play.
Hell of a game, man. Yep. They could not. I mean, that offensive line of the Cowboys is no laughing matter, and they smothered Zeke Elliott all game long, and forcing Dak to have to make point. Accurate passes. And again, like I said earlier, just doesn't seem like when you ask him to do it, without the help of, the linebackers being sucked in by the run, that he could do that. So, again, I guess he's getting exposed. I mean, it's too early to tell, but let's see.
Yeah, we definitely will see. Sunday night game, Colts against the Chiefs. After the upset of Brissett and I don't know what the hell was going on with him, but I'm definitely going with Mahomes. Even though Mahomes had a tough game, shout out to the Detroit Lions for giving them a tough battle. Yeah. Lions could have won that game, and they should have won that game.
Remember when we recorded the podcast, I told you guys. That Lions defense ain't no joke, man.
Yeah,
they are not. They gave them a hell of a game. That offense is the best offense in the league, and they choked the crap out of them. Basically,
oh yeah,
it was hard for them to go up and down the field against them.
No passing touchdowns for Mahomes, so that's hell of impressive.
Exactly,
hell of impressive. Our Monday night game is the Cleveland Browns against the 49ers.
This should be a good one too.
Very good.
Browns, let's see if they're back on the right track. Are they gonna go on a roll now? And San Fran, are they for real? Are they gonna go, are they for real? Or can you start taking them seriously?
I predict a shootout.
Yeah, probably. I can see that.
I don't think Garoppolo is really I don't know.
If it's a shootout, I'm gonna go with Cleveland. If you're saying shootout, I'll go with Cleveland.
Baker Mayfield still hasn't shown me impressiveness. I don't see a shootout at all.
Wow.
Both of these guys has not impressed me so far this season. If you really look at the numbers and you look at the and you watch how they play, they really have not impressed me. To say, okay, this is going to be – no, this might be a 17-14 type of game.
That's kind of sad to say because both of those teams have ultra talented offenses. Yes. They have a lot of talent, especially at the skill position. So if their quarterbacks are just not playing well, one of my most favorite offensive coordinators, or he's the head coach now, the 49ers. I believe in him. I'm going to go 49ers.
I'm just saying, without Nick Chubb and them touchdowns. How many touchdown throws did Baker Mayfield throw? One?
I think that's it.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm going to go with the 49ers because I just don't know what's going on with Mr. Mayfield. And he better get it together real soon or he's going to have two babies crying around him.
Is that a shot at Beckham and Landry?
Is that what it is? But not too much. I'm not gonna go too hard on him yet. But I mean, you know, I just want to see a good game. Hopefully Mayfield and Garoppolo will get it together. But I just don't see it. I just don't see it right now.
I could see Beckham having a big game. It's a prime time Monday night football. I could see him having a big game.
Well, without that 80 yard touchdown against us, he ain't look too impressive to me. So I don't expect nothing at all.
There you go.
Yeah, well, we'll see. That's it for our podcast. Please follow us on Twitter. Just Fans Podcast, Instagram, NY Just Fans Podcast. Please give us some feedback and what y'all think of the podcast. So until next time, we out of here. We taking flight.
Take flight.
Take flight, everybody.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.